You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Take three. And welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, we're going to take a look at the baseball prospectus predictions for the 2021 season and why I think they're bananas. Also, I take a quick peek at the trade of a player who at one point looked like he was going to be the next huge star in Boston. Now he's a reclamation project in Kansas City. This show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts when you're staying at home during these trying times. Be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen and Locked On Today with Peter Bukowski. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pod. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter. Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Now I'm going to give a shout out to another one of our Locked On podcasts, which is Locked On Red Sox, which is hosted by friend of the podcast, Gabrielle, the creator of Girl at the Game. By the way, Gabrielle is also in charge of all of our social media that is posted on Locked On MLB Pod and all over the place. And she's doing a fabulous job. And I just want to say that publicly. She's working her butt off. She's a really smart and funny baseball mind. And you're doing a great job. And I do appreciate it. And she also does a great job hosting Locked On Red Sox. And I'm going to direct you to Locked On Red Sox, specifically the episode which is called Bye Bye Benny, which is actually accidentally playing on my phone right now, where she had Rylan, who's the host of Locked On Royals, and the two of them got really in-depth on the Benintendi trade that happened the other day. If you're unfamiliar with what happened, the Red Sox sent Andrew Benintendi, who at one point looked like he was going to be a big star, seventh pick overall from the first round of the 2015 draft, came out, looked fabulous in his first year with the Red Sox. He played on the 2016 team that made the postseason, was the runner-up for the Rookie of the Year in 2017 when he helped the Red Sox make it back to the playoffs as a division winner. Lost out the Rookie of the Year vote to Aaron Judge. Tough to argue against that. Aaron Judge had a great rookie year. But Benintendi, who also made a spectacular catch to clinch the ALCS game, was it game three or four of the ALCS against Houston in 2018, came up with some big hits, had power, had speed, was handsome, looked like he was going to be the next great big star. Had big hits in the postseason, wound up homering in the division series against the Indians and the Astros, won a World Series ring. Everything looked like it was lining up. And, you know, first of all, let's discuss the elephant in the room. There was cheating going on with the Red Sox in 2018 when they won the World Series, and suddenly Benintendi's production fell down the cesspool. And last year, he only played 14 games in the truncated season, and he went 4-39, which is, in case you're wondering, is a 103 batting average, also a 128 slugging percentage. He only got one extra base hit, a double, last year. And so he went from being the next great superstar Red Sox to being a reclamation project. He's only 26 years old. He's only 26 years old, has had success, already has a World Series ring, but he can go one of two ways. He could either be someone who spirals out and goes, whatever happened to that guy? He came out big and then fizzled out. Or he can be someone who rebounds and does so in a new environment. It was a three-team trade. The Mets wound up getting an outfield prospect named Khalil Lee, who was, I believe, one of the big outfield prospects in the Kansas City organization. The Red Sox didn't get a blue chip great player in exchange for Benintendi. They got Franchi Cordero. They got a couple of players to be named later from Kansas City and from the Mets. And they wound up getting Josh Winkowski, who is a 22-year-old pitcher that was in the organization for the who's now being sent to the Red Sox in the deal. And, you know, I got to give it to the Red Sox a little bit here in that they traded away Benintendi, you know, traded him low, but they wound up getting at least volume back for it. They wound up getting five players by the time all the players to be named later are sent to the Red Sox. They wound up getting five players for Benintendi, who very well may not be in their plans anymore. And that's five bodies in their farm system. And even if some of the players don't turn into blue chippers or turn into big-time major leaguers, sometimes it's good to just flood your farm system with decent players. And, you know, and take your chances. The Royals have a few reclamation projects on their team, including Carlos Santana and now Benintendi. I don't think the Royals are going to be contending this year. I think it's strange that they've made a couple of moves that seem like they're going to win now. But, hey, in this time where everybody seems to be either tanking or not trying, good for the Royals for rolling the dice a little bit, too. The Red Sox get, you know, volume, and the Royals get a chance for at least a player who may be able to turn things around. I get it from both sides. I'm going to go into a little bit later how I feel the Red Sox just, you know, yes, I know they were cheating in 2018, so it's difficult to look at everything going on with rosy-colored glasses. But that being said, that they built up an exciting team that obviously won the World Series, looks like they're going to be a contender for a while. And it looked like it was creating a potential for a new rivalry with the Yankees as they were developing a team that looked like they were going to the postseason. And it was going to be an all-new cast, an all-new group of people, Judge on one side, Mookie Betts on the other. It looked like it was going to be a new fun chapter in the rivalry, and the Red Sox have just put two sticks of dynamite in it. And that wonderful homegrown outfield of Benintendi, Jackie Bradley Jr., and Mookie Betts, assuming that Bradley Jr. signs elsewhere, will all be gone by 2021. And you know what? It's kind of sad because I thought they could have been an interesting new chapter. Who knows? The Red Sox could turn this money that they didn't spend on Betts and this flooded new farm system, and they could put together another terrific team and be a contender in a couple of years, and Boston fans will forgive everything. I get it. It's just, it looked like they were building something really cool. The outfield of Benintendi, Bradley, and Betts, the three Bs, and three different. You got the left-handed line drive hitter in Benintendi, you got the defensive whiz in Jackie Bradley Jr., and you had the franchise star in Mookie Betts. That was a homegrown outfield. And it looked like for a little bit it was going to be a homegrown outfield that was going to be the best homegrown outfield the Red Sox had since Rice, Lynn, and Evans. And unlike Rice, Lynn, and Evans, they got the winning the World Series out of their system early. Now that's not going to happen because one of the most wealthy organizations in baseball wanted to save a little bit of money. It's too bad. But if they're going to make a deal, well, trading Andrew Benintendi for essentially five players, and one of them, Franchi Cordero, at least was a major leaguer, at least has experience in the bigs, and is, you know, he's a left-handed hitting outfielder who's also in his 20s. Well, roll the dice, see what happens. And you know, maybe the Red Sox will make the right move, and maybe this will be the right thing to do. I don't know if I want to put any money on it, But if I were going to put some money on it, I'd go to BetOnline, which is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football may be over, but the NBA, college basketball, the NHL are in full swing. And BetOnline also covers awards and TV shows and reality TV, which as a former reality TV producer, I can tell you is absolutely insane because they're all written and scripted. That being said, you get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive $50 welcome bonus for your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Use promo code LOCKEDON. Hey, you know, the Red Sox are making all sorts of tinkering to the engine, and let that be a lesson. You don't always do the best thing when you're fooling around with an engine. And sometimes you spend too much. But this is why you got to learn all about RockAuto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low. The same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection and reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. It's at RockAuto.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. Baseball Prospectus is a great site. Baseball Prospectus. Am I saying it right? Am I stumbling through it? Baseball, say it with me. It's a little bit tongue-tied, and I'm quite frankly recording this a little later at night than I normally do. Baseball Prospectus. They have all sorts of stats that I don't understand, all sorts of analysis, all sorts of projections. They're smart baseball people. And here we are. It's mid-February. Right now it's the 12th day of February 2021. Happy Friday, everyone. And they have their projections for 2021. Now, some of these make a little bit of sense to me. They have the Dodgers winning 103 games, which I could definitely see. They have the second best record in the National League be the San Diego Padres, which I also can see. I think that's probably how it's going to be, them 1-2. But some of the stuff here, I'm sorry, I just don't get it. They have the Yankees at first place in the AL East. Now, that's not what I'm bristling at, because I think the Yankees are certainly going to be a contender, and I think they have as good a chance of winning the American League East as anybody. I think the Blue Jays are putting together a very good team. I think Tampa still has talent. I think the Red Sox and the Orioles are tomato cans. That being said, they have the Yankees at 97 wins. 97 wins. I'm not saying that's impossible. But do you have any idea how many things have to go right for this Yankee team to win 97 games? A couple of years ago, the Yankees won 100-some-odd games despite piles of injuries that they had in 2019. And it was extraordinarily unlikely that they would be able to weather that storm the way they did. Now, the Yankees have many, many established Major League starters in their rotation. But when you consider, there's four of their main pitchers that they have going into this upcoming season combined for one more inning than me. And they're banking that the Taillons and the Severinos and the Klubers of the world are all going to rebound in a positive way. Because, you know, they've lost Tanaka, and they do have Gerrit Cole, who's one of the best pitchers of baseball. But then they've also removed Ottavino from their bullpen, and I'm relying on Chapman less and less and less. Plus, he has demonstrated over and over again he's not the guy you want to have in a big playoff spot. How many consecutive years does he have to let up big hits and big home runs for you to say, huh, look at that. He's Armando Benitez. So I don't see the Yankees as a 97-win team. I could see him as a 90-win team. That's probably where I would say, somewhere between 88 to 90 wins, unless their starting rotation just all clicks. But there's too much that's riding on an extraordinarily shaky rotation after Gerrit Cole. Plus, I think Toronto has improved. I think they're a lot closer. Now, some of the things on here are absolutely absurd. They have the Twins winning the Central. Fine. I can see that. They have the White Sox at 83-79. They have the A's at 80-82. They have the A's as sub-500. They have the A's having the same record as the Red Sox. That's insane. The A's are probably still the best team in the American League West. They have the Astros at 93 wins. Are the Astros going to be a winning team? Maybe. Probably. But 93 wins? They have the Angels at 87 wins. I'm sorry. Based on what pitching? The A's, I think, are heads and shoulders the best team in that division. And the Astros, we talked about this ad nauseum yesterday, they're a year older. And, again, you got to throw a lot of the stats out the window from 2020 because it was only 60 games. But that rotation is no longer special. Even if Verlander comes back from his injuries, he's of that age. When you keep getting hurt at that age, you got to say, I wonder if we're near the end of this one here. Some of the other things are absolutely absurd. They have the Braves at 82-80. I think the Braves are a 95-win team and a legit pennant contender. But they have the Mets at 96 wins. I don't see that happening. They have the Cardinals as a 500 team. I don't understand what I'm reading half the time. The Brewers, they have leading the division, and I could see that. But the Cubs at 85-77? This is a team that's dismantling. You know, the two teams that right now I would pick to go to the World Series are San Diego and Chicago, the White Sox, that is. And they clearly don't see it that way. Now, the National League, I personally think, have three teams that are legitimate World Series contenders: the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Atlanta Braves. Now, one of those teams may be wound up being the wild card. You may get a sense where a team from the National League Central makes a big run at it, but the Cubs are blowing their team up, the Reds are taking a step back, and the Pirates aren't going to field a major league team. So why are the Cardinals, they have it as an 81-81 team and only one game behind the Braves? I mean, I don't understand what these are based upon. I believe the American League is essentially going to be a little bit of a clown car. You're going to see that there's no one great team in the American League. The Padres are better than every team in the American League right now. I have no hesitation saying that. None. The Yankees, the A's, the White Sox, the Blue Jays, the Rays, the Twins, the Indians. These are all teams that I think are going to be playoff teams. And essentially, they're all okay teams with some flaws, and one of them is going to get hot in October and wind up playing either the Braves, the Dodgers, or the Padres, or maybe St. Louis. And then there'll be a coin flip, basically, because you don't know what will happen in the short series. But I don't know what Baseball Prospectus is doing. I don't quite understand it. They have the postseason being the division champs being the Yankees, Twins, and Astros. And the Angels would be in the wild card game playing either Tampa Bay or Cleveland. I don't see it. I'd love to see the Angels in the postseason. Just not seeing it. And in the National League, they have the Mets winning 96 games. And the Mets could be very good. I'm not tearing down the Mets, but they have the Mets essentially running away with the National League East, a division that has the Nationals, the Phillies, the Marlins, and the Braves. They have the Marlins as a 94 loss team. I don't understand it. They're using some metric I don't understand. I don't get it. But then again, there's one other thing to remember. There's still over 100 some odd free agents who don't have homes yet. And maybe some of those will be the spackle that a pennant contender needs as they fill in the holes. Well, I'm going to fill in the holes for another week of doing podcasts. Go to the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app and check out all the places where you get your podcasts. Talking about Benintendi gone and Baseball Prospectus making picks that I don't quite understand. This is Locked On MLB for the 12th day of February 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.